Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. It's the surprise hit of the season, Slumdog Millionaire. A plot out of Dickens, a director out of the UK, a story set in Maximum City, Mumbai, as most of the world has never seen it. It's a tearjerker and a love story, and it swept the Golden Globes. Here's Tom Cruise announcing one of its four wins.
And the Golden Globe goes to Slumdog Millionaire.
This hour On Point, we're diving into Slumdog Millionaire. You can join the conversation. Have you seen it? The slums, the torture, the city on steroids. The love, what did you make of the story of a boy from the hard side of Mumbai? Is this the India you know? We've got a great all-Indian crew to look with us at Slumdog Millionaire. From New York, Asim Chhabra, entertainment writer and columnist for the Mumbai Mirror. He's interviewed director Danny Boyle, female lead Frida Pinto, and Slumdog's Golden Globe-winning score composer A.R. Rahman. He gives the film a big thumbs up. Asim Chhabra, thanks very much for being here.
Thank you very much, Tom.
And with us from Seattle is Bollywood maven Nupur Kohli. Her radio show is Jhankar, covers the Indian film industry every week in the USA. Nupur Kohli, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Tom. It's a pleasure.
Asim, first to you. Tell us just the story of this film. A lot of people have seen it, but it's not all over the country yet. What's the basic tale that unfolds here?
Well, the basic tale is sort of a slice of life in India, in Mumbai, which I sort of still call Bombay. That was the original name of the city. It's a story about a boy from the slums who goes through a lot of tragedy, a lot of hardship, a lot of torture and sadness just to be on this show, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, which was very popular in India. They had a Hindi version of the show, which was called Kaun Banega Karorpati, which is a literal translation. And he wants to be in the show just to be able to, you know, find the girl of his dreams, a girl he's known since they were children and they were separated due to circumstances. It's a classic underdog tale, and that's probably one of the reasons why it's really appealing to the audience in America.
It's brutal, it's beautiful, it's revolting. In the end, it's got hope and redemption all over it. It's got this interesting structure where he's on the game show, he's being asked questions, and we get all these flashbacks that show us why he knows the answers, though the host and the police can scarcely believe it. Jamal Malik, the film's underdog hero, played by Dev Patel. Here he is in the hot seat on the Indian version as portrayed of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. The pressure mounts. He gets nervous.
I'll go for D, London.
Computer G, D, lock your jaw. Jamal Malik, you're absolutely right!
It's getting hot in here.
Are you nervous?
What? Am I nervous? It's you who's in the hot seat, my friend.
Oh, yes.
Sorry.
Are you nervous? The boy from the slums in the film story asks the gilded game show host, and things get really rough before they get beautiful in this film. Nupur Kohli, I wish you'd tell us about the actors in this film. Who's straight out of Bollywood? Who's not? What's the cast?
Actually, Dev Patel and Frida Pinto, this is their first film, which I thought was interesting because they have acted absolutely brilliantly.
Now, Dev Patel is the male lead, the boy, once he's grown into his teenage years, actually British. He'd been on British television and sort of imported, not really from India.
Right, exactly. But this was his first feature film. And Frida Pinto, this was her first film as well. The Bollywood actors are Anil Kapoor, Irfan Khan. Interestingly, Mahesh Manjrekar plays an interesting character, and he was never credited, so I thought that was interesting. But some pretty big Bollywood names as well.
Anil Kapoor plays the game show host who's really central to this thing. Asim Chabra, what do you know about how the director, who many will know from Trainspotting and a lot more, how he found this crew of actors to come in on such an unusual international production?
Well, Danny Boyle, in the conversations I've had with him, has told me that he was and is a huge fan of Bollywood. So long before this project came to him, long before the script came to him, he had seen a number of Bollywood films. I mean, I guess living in England, they're sort of more connected to India and Indian culture. And he knows Anil, especially from one film called Thal, which means The Beat, which was, I think, in the late 1990s, early 2000, where Anil plays this sort of this over-the-top sort of a music composer, and Danny loved his performance in that. Anil Kapoor has been in films in Bollywood for, I'm just guessing now, at least 20 years. He's in his early 50s, and he's done some, you know, really good performances. And Danny, you know, he was probably Danny's first choice, although the show Who Wants to Be a Millionaire in India, Kaun Banega Ka Crorepati, the two hosts of the show have been these two top Bollywood actors, Amitabh Bachchan and Shah Rukh Khan. They have sort of gone back and forth hosting the show. And there is a story that Shah Rukh Khan was actually asked, and Shah Rukh Khan is the biggest star in Bollywood. He was actually asked to perform in the film, but he felt that the character was slightly, it is a negative character that is host in the show, in the film. And Shah Rukh was worried that in the event that he gets to host the show again, sometimes in future, it might reflect, the film might sort of impact his television career there. The other actor, Irfan Khan, who plays the role of the cop, Irfan is the
this
leading
This is the police
art
chief
house.
Who's down at the station where the boy gets straight up tortured in the process of trying to figure out whether he's cheating on this show.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Irfan is a leading art house actor in India these days in Bollywood films. And in fact, Irfan has been seen in a number of films in the West also. He played the role of the father in Meera Nair's Namesake. He was in A Mighty Heart, where he played against Angelina Jolie. He was a cop in that also. He had a small role in Darjeeling Limited. So he's being recognized already. I mean, he has connections in the West. So those are two wonderful actors, and, you know, Danny Boyle cast two wonderful, you know, gave them great roles.
Four big prizes at the Golden Globes and a lot of talk about Oscars as well. Danny Boyle has done really hard-boiled stuff out of the UK. Again, Trainspotting most famously. I thought it was fascinating that the screenwriter here, Simon Beaufoy, was the guy with the full Monty. There, too, you had a kind of performance and backstory as the framework for a compelling film. Here's Danny Boyle at the Golden Globes talking with journalists after the prizes were awarded about Mumbai and how he tried to reflect that amazing city in the movie.
The city, Mumbai, the maximum city, they call it, is a gift for a filmmaker. It's beyond anything you could ever imagine. There are horrors to see. There's great, terrible things that you see, but there's also the most extraordinary heart in the place. And it, with all its imperfections, it's heading towards happiness. You can feel that. And no wonder it holds Bollywood. You know, that's where Bollywood is based, and no wonder, really, you know, because of this dedication to, on the one hand, business, and on the other hand, dance, music, and together they create this effervescence that lifts your spirits above whatever terrible things you see, and hopefully that spirit comes across in the film ultimately as well.
With all its imperfections, he said, it's headed toward happiness, but boy, it can be a rough road on the way, and we see Mumbai in this film as many, at least in the United States, will never have seen it before. Lots of callers want to join us, Nupur and Asim. Let me go to Dustin in Storrs, Connecticut. Dustin, you're on the air.
Hi, how you doing?
Very well. What do you think?
I just wanted to reiterate a couple of the things that I'm already hearing. Besides the movie being fantastic, wonderful acting, a wonderful score, wonderful directing and production, I think one of the most important things, particularly for this market here in the United States, is the fact that we got a chance to see a part of the world portrayed in a different light than we usually see it portrayed in.
And in a, what do you, how would you describe that light, Dustin?
Well, you know, it's like I said, this slice of life that they're giving us, there may be a certain, you know, that they're the same as we are. They have the same struggles. The same type of things are going on in that part of the world. and it gives a very human element to a part of the world that we don't really hear about, or maybe because of the mainstream media may have certain misconceptions about.
Well, certainly, if you get right down to basic human circumstances of love and hope and redemption, similarities. But Nupur Kohli, at the same time, I think a lot of Americans are going to look at this city and say, holy smokes, it's hard to even picture such a place. The vast slums, sort of overwhelming, and then the absolute boom of all the skyscrapers going up right on top of them as the movie unfolds. This is a scene that just in its physicality, Nupur, is quite eye-popping, I think, for global audiences.
Absolutely. Mumbai is just like that, though, Tom. It's a paradox of a city. You have the extremely wealthy, and then you have the slums, and that is realistic.
Asim, what do you make of it? What did Danny Boyle say about it as a setting for a film? I mean, there's a lot more to it than this, but at some level, just turn the camera on in Mumbai, and you've got a heck of a scene.
Well, one of the things that when we talked to Danny, one of the things he said is that, you know, and he's made a number of films, and he felt that, you know, all the time he was in control, whether he made Trainspotting or Shallow Grave or 28 Days Later, mm-hmm. amazing films he's made. When he reached Bombay, he realized that he had to step back. The city takes control of, you know, it's a city on a fast forward motion, as he says. And sort of you have to respect the city.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about Slumdog Millionaire, the British Indian film sensation out of Mumbai that swept the Golden Globes and is all lined up now for the Oscars, kind of Dickens meets Bollywood in the maximum city. We're talking with Indians, Delhi-born Asim Chabra and Mumbai-born Nupur Kohli, about what they made of the film, this global meeting on screen. Another little bit from the film as he starts to win big on the game show. The police detain Jamal, the young man who's a man on a mission, we'll talk about it, to find out if the boy from the slums is cheating. The torture is rough. The questions that he would, they question whether he would possess the knowledge to know the answers on his own.
So I was thinking,
get him down, tidy him up, please, for God's sake!
Sir, what if he didn't know the answers?
Professors, doctors, lawyers, general knowledge wallahs never get beyond 16,000 rupees. He's on 10 million. What the hell can a slum dog possibly know?
The answers. I knew the answers.
The answers, says the young man, practically hanging by his thumbs. I knew the answers, and we learned how he did. Here's Simon Beaufoy, who wrote the screenplay, also wrote The Full Monty. This was based on Slumdog Millionaire, the novel Q&A by Vika Swarup. After the film was complete, he talked about his, Beaufoy, about his attraction to Mumbai and the city's dichotomies.
It's just moving at a pace, unimaginable pace of progress and change, and you've got incredible squalor, incredible riches sat right next to each other, a kind of capitalism gone rampant. And meanwhile, all these people stuck on top of each other, squeezed together, all of them making out their own tiny little journeys in life.
And last Sunday night, raking it in big at the Golden Globes, here's Danny Boyle accepting the Golden Globe for Best Director, giving big thanks here to the whole crew.
Making a film is a family affair, obviously, and the people in Mumbai, who are all watching, by the way, a big shout of love to them, and particularly Loveleen Tandon, Rasul Pukati and Raja Chari, and our three musketeers, Tabrez, Pravesh, and Sanjay. And finally, and most appropriately in this house, to the actors, particularly Anil, Dev and Frida, and Madhur, and the six... The six young actors who played the other parts in the movie, who were fantastic.
Winning big, four big ones at the Golden Globes. There's director Danny Boyle, Asim Chabra, and Nupur Kohli are with us. David's calling from Boston. David, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Very well. What do you know?
Well, I'm adopted from Calcutta, India, actually, and I saw this movie before it hit the major theaters. I saw this at the Coolidge Corner Theater, a small theater.
Yep.
And it made me think about, you know, where I'm from, and that that I have, you know, by being adopted, I was given some you know, very, you know, better chances than it looked like a lot of the people in the slums were from. And it actually got me to book a heritage tour back to India for next year to learn more about where I'm from.
David, how old are you, my friend?
I'm 24.
You're adopted from Calcutta. Did you watch this film and say to yourself, my God, that could have been me?
Yes, I did. I was, for a whole week, I was like that. And nobody understood it. The people I saw it with didn't understand it, but I was saying that.
David, good luck on your trip when you go and headed back. Thanks very much for calling. Nupur Kohli, a big view of Mumbai here. But, of course, this is the capital of Bollywood, of India's own film industry. This is hardly the first time, if you look at it that way, globally, that this city has had tons and tons of attention. When you look at this as somebody who knows Bollywood very well, are you impressed with Slumdog Millionaire, or is this what Bollywood does or something different, Nupur?
Tom, I was very impressed with the film. I thought that it was a very well-crafted film with brilliant acting, an inspiring story, and a very realistic backdrop, which actually kind of evolved us to one of the characters in the film, if you will. Having said that, growing up on a staple diet of Bollywood films, my perspective is a little different. I can see why it's become such a phenomenon here in the United States. But I've seen wonderful films that are actually from Bollywood. And Slumdog Millionaire has the Western perspective of Danny Boyle. And it's interesting that that's brought it to the mainstream limelight.
You know,
There are some fabulous films from Bollywood that have actually just kind of gone under the radar.
Now, I was talking with an Indian friend, asked her about it, and she said, well, it was really good, but it was no Salaam Bombay. That was Mira Nair's film from back in 1988, Mira Nair of Monsoon Wedding and many other good ones. Now, but was Salaam Bombay, do you call that Bollywood, Nupur, or not?
That was Bollywood as well. I mean, Bollywood films are usually escapism. They are kind of veering towards more realistic cinema and experimenting with different themes and ideas right now. But I think that there are some glamorous, bigger-than-life films that are churned out from Bollywood that actually also have wonderful acting and wonderful storylines as well. And it's interesting that, you know, they haven't gotten the attention that a film, that this underdog film, Slumdog Millionaire, has. It's great. It's refreshing. It's exciting for all of the NRIs, all of the Indians in the Western part of the world to see the type of enthusiasm and furor that Slumdog Millionaire has evoked. But it's also kind of, you know, like we wonder how come there have been other films that have been submitted even for Oscar consideration, and they haven't garnered the same enthusiasm.
Well, great question, and we'll look at it. Let me get a call first from St. Louis, Missouri, and Nishita. Nishita, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Hi. My question kind of goes along with what was last spoken. I'm actually an NRI based in St. Louis.
An NRI? Define that for us, Nishita.
It's a non-resident Indian. I moved to the U.S. when I was 8 years old. And
so you're an Indian national living in the United States? Or
I'm actually a U.S. citizen.
Okay, got it.
But I often return to India to do field work. I'm an aspiring anthropologist.
Great.
And I guess my question is about whether this film, you know, is being lauded as kind of the best film depicting authentically depicting India. And I'm wondering if instead it kind of shows us some very predictable images of India and kind of exoticizes them and presents Mumbai specifically as kind of the third world as spectacle.
Did you see it, Nishita?
I have. I've seen it twice, actually.
And I'm guessing you're saying it looked like spectacle to you. I mean, in fairness, Mumbai is kind of a spectacle, isn't it? It's huge. It's dynamic. It's a cliche, but contrast.
Certainly, certainly. I guess I'm wondering whether that spectacle, I mean, whether that exoticizing doesn't necessarily do justice to perhaps the broader global flows and the kind of global structural issues that lead to urban poverty. Instead, the making it a spectacle kind of makes it seem that poverty and these issues are endemic to India rather than something that is larger, broader than just India.
Fair enough. Asim Chabra, how about it? Exoticizing, exploitation of spectacle in a way, or making?
Actually, I will not agree at all on that point. You know, India in its first 40 years of independence was a socialist country, socialist economy. But in the 1990s, the economy got liberalized. And Bombay today reflects what the liberalized new India is all about. There's this whole attitude kind of a thing, whether it is among the rich or the middle class or the poor, that we can do it, we can make it. And one of the most impressive things about this film is that you see these young kids from the slums and how they rise up. And, you know, even the brother who joins the underworld, for instance, they really have this attitude like nothing can stop them. And that is that spirit of New India that this film captures in a beautiful way. So I don't think that's exoticizing India in any way. I mean, it's showing a very real slice of India. It's a film, after all, at the end of the day. It's entertainment. It's not all reality, but it's close to reality, I think.
Nupur Kohli, how about it? As you say, Bollywood famous itself for spectacle as a central element often in its drama. Do you see exoticizing, exploitation here, or is this in line with what Bollywood itself does?
No, I would agree with the theme as well. I think that it is realistic. The backdrop, what they've depicted, it's all very realistic. I don't think that it's a spectacle at all.
Let's listen to what Dev Patel had to say. This is the young man who played Jamal Malik. Said filming in the streets of Bombay was important to help him, coming from London, get into character since he didn't grow up in the city or know its feel. Here he is last month in an interview with co-star Frida Pinto beside him with the film website movies.ie.
There's just so much to see around you. I mean, everyone on set especially, I was worried that I was going to go to set and everyone's going to be like, oh God, this imposter. But it was totally different. Everyone embraced sort of me, like the country, and they wanted to show me their little Bombay, which was awesome to get into character, you know? And yeah, to film there again, it's great. I wanted so much more street scenes, because that's the best place to film is, you know, in the streets, surrounded by people and the live hustle and bustle.
Surrounded by people, no kidding, thousands all the time, it looked like, around these cameras. Let's go to Barbara in Wellesley, Massachusetts. Barbara, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I saw this movie, and I've also visited Mumbai several times, and when I came home from the movie for the first time ever after a movie, I had horrible nightmares all night long. They involved a little boy who was blinded and the Muslim-Hindu conflicts of 1993. And I just feel so conflicted about India. I love India so much. On the one hand, somebody said something about heart and horror. It's just this incredible mixture. Probably there's no place on earth that I love more than India, but these things that you see right in front of you all the time, and India's touted all the time as being a great democracy. I think we define democracy very loosely, when there's so much corruption and so much cruelty that takes place alongside so much spiritedness.
Barbara, we've got the perspective. Hope you get over your nightmares. Let us get some more here. Thanks for calling. Stephen in Boston, you're on the air, Stephen.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Well, what do you think, Stephen?
Good. I thought the film was wonderful. I also think that most of the world looks like, you know, those places in Bombay the film was made in. And I just wanted to comment that people are just really shocked about just the way the film is depicted and the characters and the poverty. I think the poverty is, you know, it's worldwide. And I think the film brings this to a reality, and maybe people should give it some serious thought as to even where they live.
Stephen, it's a good point. I mean, just seeing it is eye-popping in its way, and taking cameras where Hollywood almost never, maybe literally never goes. On the other hand, how it's portrayed once you get there, we'll get a lot of comment. Thanks for calling Manish in Cheshire, Connecticut. Manish, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Very well. What do you think, Manish?
In my opinion, I think this is one more attempt by Western media to make a buck out of Miseries of India. And this is nothing more than that. I can't do complete justice with the storyline because I watched this movie only for 10 minutes and I turned off my TV.
I have to tell you, Manish, that's a mistake. I mean, if you just watch 10 minutes, you just got a lot of the horror and not the redemption.
I understand, but in essence, you were making a point in time that this movie did fantastically, in especially in the United States. Why? Because if we show what India is, what's happening in India at this point, India is developing at a very fast rate, the media is really trying to find what sells. If you start showing the big buildings, the development in India, what's happening, that's not going to sell.
Are you a Mumbai guy, Manish, or where are you? What's your hometown?
I come from Delhi. I have been in this country for over 10 years. I run my own business, but I love this country to death. Absolutely. The United States is a country of opportunities. But I never 100% kind of go along with the media. Media is not able to keep a good balance between what India is and what India is being portrayed as per on the TV or in the movies.
Manish, we've got it. You see the Western media making a buck, I guess even in the film itself, you're saying, in Slumdog Millionaire, off the misery of India. I want to take that to my guest. Let's listen for just a moment to what the Golden Globe-winning composer and producer A.R. Rahman had to say. He pulled together the Slumdog Millionaire score, accepted the Golden Globe for Best Original Score, thanked a lot of people here, including everyone in his homeland, India.
Danny Boyle, Christian from Celador, Fox Pictures, all my musicians in Chennai, Mumbai, Simon Long, Karan Grover, MIA for the collaboration, Sam Schwartz, Allison, and the billion people from India. Thanks for all your praise.
Asim Chabra, making a buck off the misery of India. What do you make of that perspective on this film?
Well, first of all, I wonder how Manish was watching the film on television. I hope he wasn't watching a pirated copy. And I really wish he had seen the whole film. Because this film really reflects so many layers of Bombay. There is poverty, there is hardship, but there is wealth also. We see all those middle-class kids in the middle of the film when they're all working at this call center. Everyone's trying to better their life. I mean, it's this new India that this film projects, with people with cell phones and fast-moving life and cars and tall buildings and poverty also. That is Bombay. I know a lot of people from India get very uncomfortable when anything sort of quote-unquote negative is portrayed in the media, on television, films, or the newspapers about India. But, you know, there is so much positive being written about India every day also. Gosh, I mean, every other day, Business Week and Economist have cover stories where they're comparing India's economy to China and how India's moving forward and the democracy. So, you know, it's important for the media to be objective. I think Danny Boyle was very objective and very respectful of India in this film.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking about Slumdog Millionaire. Dickens meets Bollywood in the maximum city, Mumbai, sweeping the Golden Globes last weekend. Asim Chabra is with us from the Mumbai Mirror. Nupur Kohli is here from Seattle. Asim's in New York. Nupur's radio show, Jhankar, is all about the Bollywood industry, films, and music. Here's a little bit more from the film. Police, again, questioning Jamal. How did you do this? How are you making your way through Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? They turn to a videotape of the game show for clues to his technique. They watch him interact with the show's host, played by Anil Kapoor.
So, Mr. Malik, the man who knows all the answers. Talk.
Oh, Sadiqa, talk.
So, Jamal, are you ready for the first question for 1,000 rupees?
Yes.
Not bad money to sit on a chair and answer a question. Better than making tea, no?
No. Yes. No.
No. Yes. No.
Is that your final answer?
They're laughing, but it's rough. In Slumdog Millionaire, Janina is on the line from Danville, Vermont. Janina, hi, you're on the air.
Yes, hi.
Hi, what do you think?
I loved the movie. I thought it was fabulous, and I just hope that everybody goes to see this movie, and it'll expose people to not only Bollywood, who I think is brilliant in movie making, but also that this really is India as it truly is. I grew up there as a child back in the 50s, and you know, what's portrayed in the movies exactly today, I mean, really does go on. There are extremes of incredible wealth and beauty and extremes of terrible horror and poverty as well. So I loved it, and I just can't say enough about it.
Well, what did you think that it was Danny Boyle, a Britisher, making the film, Janina? Did it surprise you? Have you seen the same kind of thing out of Bollywood? Was this something different?
Well, yes, I've watched Bollywood movies before. It's hard to watch. I kind of went in thinking, oh, you know, this is another Bollywood movie, and I didn't really realize what the content of the film was initially. But it was hard to watch. But, you know, it's reality. I mean, horrible things happen in Western countries, too. So, I think the story that portrays Jamal as a great guy making wonderful decisions and just, you know, following his heart, the end of the story was wonderful and very uplifting.
Yes, indeed. No question. Janina, thanks for your call. Loretta in Brookline, Massachusetts, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you.
Yeah.
I want to first point out that I have two friends, one of whom is a film scholar and who poo-pooed the movie and thought it was very conventional and not at all original, and she was deceived by it. And then there was a Globe letter writer today who said, oh, I was deceived by it because it wasn't a feel-good movie. It was horrible and black, and I couldn't watch it, and it made me uncomfortable.
How about for you?
And I think that the genius of the movie is exactly that. It's a whole package, that it is a love story for the pure of heart overcoming adversity. It is a gangster movie. It evokes very film noir with the gangster episodes and the handlers of the underworld. It is naturalistic in that it shows slum life in its, you know, worst pictures, but naturalistically. And also the fact that development partially is also in the hands of gangsters. And then in the end,
all over the world,
it has this marvelous Bollywood sequence at the train station, which is absolutely fantastic.
Dancing over the
so
credits.
It's really the genius of it for me is that it's the whole package. It evokes other film history. It also packages everything together. And that's what made it, for me, so brilliant. I just really loved it.
Loretta, you should be our film critic. You're great. Thanks very much for that. And let me get one more right here. In Augusta, Georgia, Abhishek. You're on the air, Abhishek.
Oh, thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
The one comment that I had to make is there's a lot of other movies being made in India that are very, very similar to Slumdog Millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
There's one movie that comes to mind called Sarkar, very popular in India, very much realistic to life, but it didn't get the international acclaim that Slumdog Millionaire got. And I think the main issue for that, the main reason for that, is because of the director or the company producing it. Being that you have a Hollywood company producing the movie, you get much bigger U.S. or international Hollywood acclaim versus an Indian company or Indian director directing a very similar kind of movie.
Abhishek, let us pick that up. Nupur Kohli, let me bring it to you. What about it? I mean, on the one hand, yes, Fox Searchlight ended up with it. Danny Boyle, international director. But is it the company and the man or the movie itself, you think, that's helping it cross over? Is it prejudice against a Bollywood movie or some Bollywood straight up, or is it some cultural gap still there in terms of Bollywood going right into American theaters?
Tom, I wouldn't say that there's any prejudice as such, but I do agree in part with Abhishek where it did take, you know, a major motion picture house as well as a British director to kind of bring to light this kind of euphoria for a quote-unquote Bollywood film. Now, having said that, it's not a Bollywood film.
No.
It hasn't been made in India by an Indian.
And it's not really Bollywood style. It's got elements, but it's got a lot of Western drama narrative arc to it as well.
Exactly. But I do congratulate Danny Boyle because through his efforts and by bringing this kind of film to the mainstream audience, I think it will open the doors for many more Bollywood films to kind of get the attention that they deserve. There are fabulous films, as Abhishek just mentioned, that are coming out of Bollywood and that are worthy of the attention, but they're not getting it. Hopefully with Danny Boyle's efforts and his initiative, it'll, you know, kind of focus more on the product from India.
Asim, what do you think? Do we still need international interpreters like Danny Boyle to help settings like this sort of cross culturally?
Well, I actually agree with Abhishek and Nupur. It is true that it was Danny Boyle's name that, actually Simon Boyfriend first got the script, and then Danny Boyle's name that made the film sort of go in circles, and, you know, the motion sort of, it got pushed forward, and then Fox Searchlight picked it. And it is also true that there is some very good cinema being made in India, although there's some very trashy Bollywood stuff being made in India also, which doesn't cross over to the West. It does come to movie theaters in the US and Canada and UK, but plays only for the South Asian audiences. And you know, it's kind of unfortunate. There is a general belief among Americans. Americans have heard of Bollywood by now, but they generally believe that Bollywood is all songs and dances and, you know, these sort of mixture of concoction of stories with romance and action and drama and comedy, everything packaged together. Which is partly true, but there's a lot more of Bollywood. Now, the other point that I need to make is that, you know, these films, Bollywood films, are not necessarily made. They're not made for American audiences. They're made primarily for South Asian audiences in India. And there's also a huge market of Bollywood films in Eastern Europe, in Africa, in Middle East, and other Asian countries. So, and in fact, in the US and UK and Canada also, where the diaspora sort of watches them. So it's not like the Bollywood film producers are, I mean, they would love to get their work being appreciated by, you know, mainstream American audiences also, but it's not like they don't have any audience right now. They have a huge audience in India and other places.
You know, I spent about a year living in India. It's been a while ago now, but I looked at this and on the one hand, I saw the great potential for a truly globalized film market. On the other hand, this isn't straight up Bollywood. You've got the hand of a Western director in here kind of interpreting, bringing different traditions of narrative. I don't know if it was you, Asim, or somewhere else I saw Danny Boyle saying, you know, Western filmgoers expect a kind of complete narrative arc. Bollywood can be sort of scene upon scene, and people are taking pleasure in each moment of the film. It's a bit of it's a different structure in many ways, isn't it?
Which is absolutely true. That, I think he said that probably in an interview that I wrote. It is true. I mean, the whole concept of the narrative arc doesn't happen in Bollywood films, most of them. There are some really good ones. Abhishek mentioned Sarkar, which is a very strong film, really. But Bollywood films, are, you know, they have these moments. There's some great songs and dance sequences. There'll be some great comedy moments. There'll be some great, you know, emotional melodrama moments and action sequences. But it doesn't often add up to a full package as such. The scripts therefore start to fall apart. What Simon Boyfriend's script has done is to make this very strong narrative of this one boy's journey, basically, through a lot of hardship, using a lot of, you know, touches of Bollywood, the melodrama and other issues, but keeping it a very Western sort of a style of filmmaking. The language is very Western, actually.
Here's Danny Boyle, flanked by all the actors who were there at the Golden Globes, talking with reporters, saying he was really invested in this film.
Well, they have this extraordinary expression, which I hope I pronounced correctly. These guys will tell me there, which in Hindi, which is that when you do something, you should do it from the heart. They say dil se, D-I-L-S-E. And the film was made from the heart, really, in every moment that we made it. And we never expected to be here.
To be here at the Golden Globes with four trophies. Betsy in Sarasota, Florida. Betsy, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Very well. Have you seen it, Betsy? What'd you think?
Well, all I can say is that after I saw that movie, I walked out and I said, I cannot see another movie after this, because it was the most authentic, true experience I have experienced. I didn't feel manipulated, like this was some kind of a Hollywood vehicle for a certain star. It was just absolutely authentic and overwhelming.
Overwhelming emotionally. What did you think of the scenes of Mumbai, Betsy?
The scenes were just overwhelming. I saw it with my daughter, who had just come back from Mumbai and many other areas of India, and she kept turning to me and saying, "This is exactly what it's like. This is India. This is Mumbai. This is exactly what it's like." And I could understand her stories that she came back with better, because it was just so authentic and true. And you just don't feel that when you walk out of a movie that you've actually been there.
It's impressive that you say you'll never see another film. You love this so much, but I hope you change your mind on that eventually, Betsy. But thank you for calling. Anish in Hampton, Virginia. Anish, what do you say?
Hi. As I said, we had a whole family go out on a Christmas evening to see this movie, and we have never had this kind of a reaction come back between age group 16 to 60 about a movie.
Oh, tell us. How did it break down?
Well, I'm 35. I was in the middle. But the older groups told exactly what the earlier caller from South Florida said about this is what everybody says. This is the real India. And they say they don't agree. This is not the real India.
Wait, the older said it's not India, or the young said it is India? Is that right?
No, the older say that this is not the real India. They mm-hmm. are projecting negative about India. This is going to, everybody's going to come and ask us, is this the real India? And the youngest were like, well, this is part of the truth of what's going on in Bombay. And I have been in Bombay, Mumbai, and I've seen the Dharavi slums, so, which is pretty intense, like what they've shown in the movie.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I kind of torn between. I do agree it's a greatly made movie, but I thought it would have, if an Indian director would have made the similar movie, this may not have gotten the awards that have gotten by now.
Interesting.
Rahman, the music director, has much better scores than the one they had on this movie, and never got recognized this good.
And your whole family, 16 to 60, sat down in big debate over it when it was done after a Christmas Eve viewing. That's great, Anish. Let me get one more here from Washington, D.C., Harriet. Harriet, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
My question that I haven't heard addressed is how did the Indian officials feel about being depicted as a culture or people who would torture someone over a game show?
It's a good question. Asim, Nupur, what about Indian official reaction? It doesn't open there for several more days in Indian theaters, I guess. But what about reaction from India and from officialdom in particular? Asim, do you know?
I really don't know if there's any official reaction. And quite frankly, you watch Bollywood films or even the art house films that are being made in India, and they show a lot of police brutality, corruption. And so all the dark sides and the warts and the good sides of India are being explored in Indian cinema also. So this is not the first time the police is shown torturing a poor boy. There has been some reactions from India. The film obviously has an open. Amitabh Bachchan, who I mentioned earlier, was the first host of this show, wrote in his blog the other day that he's really upset about the fact that a Western man is sort of like usurped the Indian story and, you know, again goes on to talk that there's better stuff being made in India. It's almost, to me, it's like a sour grapes kind of a situation, really.
Nupur, let me ask you, what do you expect when it does open in India? What kind of popular reception do you expect widely for this film, Nupur?
You know, I think the curiosity will definitely be there because of the attention over here in the U.S. But if aside, I think that as a film, I think people's perspectives with their Bollywood background and their Bollywood exposure, I foresee that it will open to mixed response. I don't think that it's going to be such a sweeping hit as it is here in the States, but I think the curiosity will get people to the theaters. In fact, there was a film made by another very realistic director in India named Madhur Bhandarkar, who tackled this same type of, you know, the slums, the fact that they name, you know, children and trying to get more money as beggars, and it was called Traffic Signal. And from a hit director, that was his one film that didn't do well.
Too realistic, at least around that subject. I've got to ask one more, Asim, before we go. Frida Pinto, the female lead playing Latika, what a beauty. Never acted in a film before? And Frida Pinto, is Pinto, what kind of name is that?
That's, I think, a Goan Catholic Christian name.
Some Portuguese background, maybe there.
Portuguese background. I would think so, because she's from Bombay, Maharashtra. Bombay is the capital of Maharashtra. It borders Goa, so she's definitely from that background. I would think so. She's a beauty. She's done some television work, and she was a model in India. And she said she auditioned for this film for almost 6 months. I mean, Danny felt very comfortable with her from the very beginning, but she had to go through the regular audition.
I'm very glad she made it completely smitten. Asim Chabra with Mumbai Mirror, Nupur Kohli with the radio show Jhankar. Thank you to both of you. Listeners, you can continue the conversation at onpointradio.org. Thanks, Asim and Nupur, for being with us today. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
जाना जा जिंदे शामी आने के तले आज